The Lost Wife by Anna Mansell. Read by Drew Dillon and Kristen Atherton for Saga Egmont. Part 1. January 2012.
Chapter 1. Ed. My wife gave me strict instructions in the event of her untimely death. No crying, no drinking, no sympathy sex with an ex. Her final crushed velvet curtain should fall before a congregation wearing glitter red shoes and sky blue gingham. Make that bit obvious on the invites, Ed. We didn't establish the protocol regarding funeral invites as such because, you know, why would we? A big fan of The Wizard of Oz, she also wanted the original version of Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, played for a cast of permatan small people, to dance down a specially installed yellow-bricked aisle. I didn't consider the logistics or how impossible promises would be, because she wasn't going to die. And now my head pounds, disbelief and tears replaced with dry, gut-wrenching sobs of pain and reality, which means I've broken promise one. No crying. Despite crisp winter air stealing my breath, I can still detect the stench of whiskey and wine and anything else I found around our house, searching for something to dull the pain. Except, no amount of alcohol works. It just makes me feel guilty that I'm drunk, in charge of a baby. Promise two? No drinking? Broken. Maybe I should be grateful that I've no energy, will or inclination to break promise three, ex or otherwise. Four pitch black suited men lower her walnut casket 6 foot underground, and I resist sinking to my knees. I want to go down with her. I want to hide 6 foot under. I want this all to be over. I want the pale and solemn faces that surround me to leave. They're another reminder that it did not do what she wanted. No gingham, no red shoes. I feel the punch in my heart again. On each and every level, I've got this wrong. I've blocked out the vicar's words until now. Let us commend Ellie Moran to the mercy of God. It's too much. My head feels a safer place, sifting through memories that keep her alive, if only for a few more moments, ignoring the questions I have about how we came to be here. Today is not the day. The night she tabled her dark-humoured request was our housewarming. Not more than 9 months ago, a night of love and laughter and friends. After years of graft, we'd finally finished our forever home. We were on our third bottle of Chianti, drink shared among the group, and conversation flowed as easily as the wine. Ellie's laughter infected us all to the point we could barely string a sentence together as we threw equally dark suggestions into the mix. Awake on a ranch-style farm, wind machines, a crafted prairie house coffin, and my personal favourite, ashes scattered by Glinda the Good Witch. It's easy to be flippant when you're invincible. We now commit her body to the ground. Happy memories flood and splinter the ache in my chest, sending it shooting through my body. We were going to die when we were old. We'd always said so. We'd agreed. Earth to earth. We'd share a life together, raise a family, we'd enjoy a lengthy retirement, ticking items off a bucket list, once-in-a-lifetime trips, had she not done them already. Patience was never her strong point. Ashes to ashes. Maybe that's why she was in my brother's car. Because she couldn't wait until I got there. Dust to dust. If I hadn't been stealing an hour's sleep, despite her being the one up all night with Ollie, she'd have asked me to take her out. We'd be together. She'd be alive. I wouldn't be left with little else than a note on the kitchen table. Gone for fresh air, won't be long. X. In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. We'd waved off our party guests, finally alone in our newly renovated forever home. Ellie had pendulum waved an empty bottle in my direction. Open another? She'd said, with a wink meant just for me.